بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم. الحمد للہ رب العالمین والصلاۃ والسلام علی اشرف الانبیاء والمرسلین محمد رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وآلہ وصحبہ وسلم تسلیما کثیرا کثیرا. فما بعد،
I want to begin by a quote by a man who was not a friend of Islam and he was not a friend of Muhammad صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. Friend not in the sense of personal friend, but meaning he was not somebody who was one of the admirers of Nabi صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. He was a very famous man. He is a famous historian, a French man by the name of Alphonse de Lamartine. But he was also known to be extremely critical of Islam. The reason I want to begin with a quote by him is because there is no one more sincere about praising than your enemy. If your enemy says something good about you, then you can be sure that is true, because he has no reason to do that. And Alphonse Lamartine's statement about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is to me one of the finest statements that I have ever read, because it sums up so succinctly the three critical elements of the leadership style and success of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, if the grandeur of the aim, the smallness of the means, and the immensity of results. And see the three things that he talks about. He says the grandeur of the aim. Having a grand vision that spans centuries, that spans millennia, till the end of time, that spans boundaries of nationality, of race, of country. So grandeur of aim. And then usually if you have such a big grand aim, then you would expect that the person also has the resources to fulfill it, right? So if you have a grand aim and you are the, say, head of a wealthy country or something, or you are a trillionaire, billionaire, then you would say, all right, so you know, the aim and the resources seem to match. But here it looks like the opposite, because the grandeur of the aim and then resources, the smallness of the means. If you look at material resources with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what did he have? And then the beauty is this, and he says the immensity of results. As they say, you can only take the results to the bank. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, this is not to say that those who have a grand vision and they are not able to fulfill it, for Wallahu alam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's reason of qadr, that's a, we are not criticizing that. But I'm just saying that if you have the vision and you can also show that vision realized in terms of results, then we are really talking about something. So he says the grandeur of the aim, the smallness of the means, and the immensity of results. So these three apparently paradoxical things together in one person. And then he says, if these are the three measures of a man's genius, who would dare humanly compare a great man of modern history with Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And as I told you, this is the statement of somebody who was not a friend of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was not a friend of Islam. If he is saying something like this, and in such strong language, so first of all, this is minallahi ta'ala. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forces, and obviously we have to also commend the intellectual honesty and intellectual integrity of the man to say it. I mean, he need not have said anything, but he didn't. He actually said something, and this is that's something to be appreciated as well. So this is something that I want to begin with, because alhamdulillah we are all gathered here, and may Allah bless our brother Hidayat for all the effort, and he's been unwell as well. He's been sick the whole time. And also he's been trying to prevent others from falling sick. So he's not shaking anybody's hand. He's doing all those things. May Allah bless him for his concern, inshallah, and cure him completely and totally. So despite all that, he organized this, and we have all of you here. The issue is not numbers. Please understand, although we have enough people, alhamdulillah, but the issue is not numbers. The issue is to accept and realize one fact. And that fact is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose you to be here. to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He gave me and you the opportunity to spend this time today and tomorrow in the dhikr of Allah, in through the dhikr of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to try to understand what the message of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was, with the clear intention of implementing that in our own lives. So the first thing to do is to correct and straighten our knee and say, I'm here because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed this for me and I'm thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let us do that. Let us thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this. The reason I'm saying is that because sometimes we get carried away. We say, oh no, I'm doing this work for Islam. I'm doing that work for my masjid. I'm praying tahajjud every day. All of this, if we do, it is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it possible for us to do. Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullahi alayhi, once, one of his quotes, he said that for a sin that I committed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deprived me of tahajjud for 1 month. He didn't say I fell asleep, I couldn't wake up. No. He said for a sin that I committed, Allah deprived me of tahajjud for 1 month. Means what? The lesson for us is not to say, well, what was that sin? That's not the issue. The issue is for us to ask and for us to realize that when we do something good, this is the ni'mah of Allah. This is what Allah has decreed, and we say, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. And to guard that, to ensure that we are never deprived of the opportunity to do good, the opportunity to do something to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because if to do good is the ni'mah of Allah, the day I stop doing that, then I have to ask myself, why is this door closed for me? How come Allah is not allowing me, not taking this from me? Because Allah was samad, Allah does not need. What I do, what I don't do, Allah does not need. It is for me that Allah has opened the door. So Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened the door for me. So if that door is closed at some time, it's not because, oh, but you see, I got busy. Oh, I was doing so much, now I'm tired. No. Ask yourself, something has gone wrong with me that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not giving me that opportunity which He was giving me. So immediately we make istighfar, make a lot of istighfar, and we say, Allah, please forgive me. Please allow me back in your khidmat. Allow me back in a place where I can do something for you. Because doing something for Allah is to do something for ourselves. Again, Allah is free from wants and needs. Allah doesn't need that. It's for ourselves that we are doing it. So always I remind myself and you, let us be clear. Let us correct our focus as far as the deen is concerned. And realize that when we do the work of deen, we are helping ourselves. This is not for anybody else. This is not for, it's not something that we are doing some ihsan on Allah or something like that. Na'udhu billah. I was in, the first time this hadith hit me actually, I was in Saudi Arabia, I was in Jeddah, and it was Jum'ah, I was going to pray. And I got delayed. There's a particular masjid I used to always pray. I got delayed, so I realized I can't reach that masjid. So I saw a masjid which was a new masjid, a very small masjid, very beautiful but small masjid. There was a new development, and this masjid was part of that. So I turned in there and I went for Jummah. I just had enough time to pray Tayyatul Masjid, and I was sitting there when this imam came on the minbar, a young guy, and he began his khutbah by saying, Ya ikhwan wa akhawati Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, oh, brothers and sisters of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Literally, I sort of went cold. I didn't recall this hadith. I said, what is the man saying? I mean, brothers and sisters of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's talking to us, me. I am the brother of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he narrated this hadith. He said, I am not saying this on my own. He said, Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu, he reported from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I wish I could meet my brothers. And the Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, are we not your brothers? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you are my Sahaba. Allah has given you a different status, but my brothers are those who have faith, who will have faith in me, even though they have never seen me. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us all among those inshallah. And I keep saying this again and again because we don't want the sisters to feel left out. Any of these kinds of hadith where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, these terms are not gender specific. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said brothers, it means brothers and sisters and so forth. These are not gender specific. Unless there is a particular hadith where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is specifically addressing men, that's a different issue. But otherwise, the address is a general address for all the mu'minin, inshallah. Now, as Mufti Sahib was saying, my focus on the seerah is a bit different from other foci of the seerah, other writers and people who study the seerah. Because my focus has always been to look at the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam from the perspective of our time today. Because as Mufti Sahib mentioned the ayat, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ, and yesterday also last night we spoke about that. Allah did not specify a time frame for that. Right? لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. Allah did not say this is specific to this century, that century, the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the time of the Tabi'un, Tabi'un. No. As we know, as far as the Quran is concerned, it is good until the end of time. So therefore, the Nabi is the best example for you means you meaning who? You meaning anybody who is studying about the Nabi alayhi salam, whether it's in the 7th century when he lived, or whether it's in the 21st century where we are now, or whether it is in the 10,000th century, wallahu alam, if Allah keeps the dunya, the same example of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is and will continue to remain valid irrespective of the time. Now, this is the foundation from which we are starting. So then I thought to myself and I said, okay, so this is true. This is as far as the Aqidah part is concerned, as far as the belief in the Quran is concerned. I have no doubt in my mind, alhamdulillah. But from a practical perspective, how is this justified? Because if I am talking to a group of people, say for example, who are not even Muslim, and if they tell me, you know, this is good. I mean, you have an example of this great person. We study the biographies of various people. So, why not the biography of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Right? I mean, but other than that, there is no special position that we have. He was a great man. So was so and so, so was so and so. And we can learn something from their biographies. But beyond that, what is the relevance? If they ask this question, what is the answer? So I studied the seerah from that perspective and I said, okay, so if we are saying that the life of Mr. Salam is the best example, how does it apply to me today in the 21st century, sitting here in Seattle or sitting here in New York or sitting here in Hyderabad or sitting here in Brisbane or wherever? We've done this workshop in many countries. How does it apply? How does it apply in this century to me as a businessman, to me as somebody who is running an Islamic center, to me as somebody who is an administrator, a government official, who is a professional, and so on and so forth? How does it apply?
Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika.